Good morning, listeners. You're listening to Connect FM on 96.7 or 99.7, whichever gives you the best signal. You're on the Contact Program. I'm Pat Shea, your host, and today we have a very timely and informative session on traffic safety. And we have several guests today. We have Josh Woods with Pennsylvania Highway Safety.
Morning, Pat.
Good morning. Steve Harmick, also from the safety office.
Yeah. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. And we have Assistant Chief of the new City of Dubois Police Department, Dustin Roy.
Good morning, Pat.
And we also have Natalie Reynolds, who is an intern with Highway Safety. So we're going to talk about some things that maybe you don't really want to think about, but it's important that we all definitely do. And you know, everybody likes the rules for the other guy, not necessarily for themselves. And I have to be honest, we're going to talk about some things that I'm not completely happy with, but hey, safety is an issue that we all have to be aware of, and we have to accept individual responsibility. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot more wrecks. So I'm glad these guys are here today so that we can inform you guys and help you be aware of some safety issues. We're going to go to a commercial, and we'll come right back, and we'll start the discussion.
LifespanFamilyServices.com provides foster care and adoption services throughout this area. Lifespan helps train you, support you, and works with you to make you a quality foster parent. If you have any interest in fostering, please call us today at 814-375-1314. We have a foster parent here today, and I'd like to ask, what is one thing that you thought was the most important reason to use Lifespan Family Services as your foster care provider?
Whenever my husband and I were researching foster agencies to work with, we were drawn to Lifespan. And then whenever we began to reach out, Lifespan was very responsive in getting back to us and being very patient while they walked us through the steps that we needed to take in order to become approved foster parent.
Was it an easy process?
Yes, with the guidance of our caseworker, we were able to take the trainings, receive our clearances, meet all of our home requirements in a very timely manner.
So folks, if you'd like to foster, we will help you on your journey to become a quality foster parent. LifespanFamilyServices.com.
And we're back. If you just joined, we're going to be talking about highway safety today on the Contact Show. I'm Pat Shea, your host, and we have four experts here today to talk about highway safety. Steve, how about if we start with, what is your focus? You mentioned aggressive driving.
Sure. We do educational programming and in community relations on just a whole spectrum of traffic safety topics. Aggressive driving is a big topic right now for this time of year. So we often ask people, when do you think the highest number of crashes occur on the roadways? Under what conditions would that be? People, you know, generally will answer snowy conditions, rain, fog, inclement weather. That's, you know, we can't blame people for thinking that, but our numbers show the highest number of crashes in total happen under the conditions of clear blue skies, dry roads, sunny conditions. Why is that? We get brave. We get a little bold. We want to, you know, crank our Sunny 106 on the radio, put the windows down and see what that Ford Focus can do, right? We get a little sloppy. That's because aggressive driving behaviors come out. So what is that, aggressive driving? That's an umbrella term with a bunch of different behaviors that are all covered by that. We're talking about things like speeding, tailgating, passing when you're not supposed to, either in a non-passing zone or when you don't have the clearance to do so. And just generally using just a real lack of caution. And we call these crashes. We don't call them accidents because when it comes to something like aggressive driving, it's a 100% behavioral issue. And those are 100% preventable. An aggressive driving crash is preventable if people would take their time and use caution behind the wheel.
I guess a good point that you alluded to is when the weather is good and you can see very well, you get overconfident and you might start being a little crazy with your driving because you think you can. You think it's
absolutely
okay.
People lose sight sometimes of what a responsibility driving is. Average passenger vehicle weighs between 2 and 4 tons. You get that going at highway speeds, you can weaponize that very quickly if you're not using an abundance of caution. And just to illustrate for you what an issue that can be, right here in Clearfield County alone, 51% of our total crashes last year were the result of some type of aggressive driving behavior.
Yeah, wow. If I could chime in for a second, one of the biggest things we see here all across our district is speeding when the weather gets nice. And what folks fail to realize is when you're speeding in a vehicle, it reduces your ability to negotiate curves and maneuver around obstacles. It extends the distance that your vehicle travels before it can stop. It increases the distance your vehicle travels and inhibits you from reacting to a hazard. And it increases the risk of crashes and injuries because other motorists and pedestrians have a hard time judging gaps in traffic correctly when you're going too fast. So it really is a bigger issue than what we realize.
Yes, it definitely is. And it's really not something we like to think about. So I'm glad you guys came today so we can bring these issues up. What would you say is the number one aggressive driving problem? Would it be speeding?
I think Josh hit the nail on the head there. I think speeding is a very big one. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, we've heard the comment, speeding isn't dangerous, and that is absolutely false.
Yeah, speeding, following too closely, and even things like running stop signs or red lights. Certainly some of that is occurring here in the city. Maybe an assistant chief can chime in here, but I know they're seeing some issues on places like Midway Drive, where folks are just failing to stop at stop signs.
Yeah, so we've noticed, especially as, like these guys had said, especially as the weather gets nicer, a lot of people tend to be in a hurry. We see not coming to complete stops, stop signs, speeding, and tailgating. That seems to be the biggest issues as far as aggressive driving that we've seen that are a causation for our accidents.
What do you think would make people miss those stop signs? I mean, they're pretty clearly marked.
I think folks get in a hurry at points. They just start paying attention at different times. Cell phones come into factor. I mean, there's a lot of issues where folks are just trying to get somewhere and maybe not being as cautious. I think it goes back to when the weather's nice, folks don't feel like they need to maybe be as, watchful of other people because they feel that the weather's nice and the traffic's flowing. So maybe a little lack of maybe they should have more caution, I should put.
Well, I guess distraction is a big thing. I laugh at Treasure Lake. We have stop signs at the crosswalk at Bimini Beach. And when they're coming from one direction, they're looking at the lake. When they're coming from the other direction, they're looking at the beach and the swimsuits of the people that are there. And it's a common place for people to go through the stop sign. So when they're thinking of other things, they're not thinking of that stop sign. So I can see how that would be a problem. You guys mentioned e-bikes. Are they becoming an issue?
Yeah, we've had some issues. We've had complaints as far as different folks driving where they shouldn't be driving on sidewalks and things like that, and also not paying attention as well when customers are exiting businesses and things like that. And that's something that we've been trying to keep our eye on as well.
And I think one thing that's important to note there is a difference between an e-bike and a motorized pedal cycle. So an e-bike is something with electric assist, typically weighs less than 100 pounds and has a motor of not more than 750 watts and has operable pedals. A motorized pedal cycle, on the other hand, has a design speed of no more than 25 miles per hour, has a gas motor rated 1.5 brake horsepower or less, and has an automatic transmission. So that's an important distinction to make. A motorized pedal cycle is not allowed to be on the sidewalk. An e-bike can be on the sidewalk, but not in a business district. So that's something important to note. And the other thing we're seeing a lot of is electric scooters. And actually, electric scooters are only permitted on private property. They're not permitted on public sidewalks and roadways. So that is something we're seeing. And it also should be noted with e-bikes and motorized pedal cycles, you have to be at least 16 years old to operate each of those. So that's a question we get a lot of from parents. You know, can my child ride one of these? You have to be at least 16.
Well, lots of rules, new rules that people don't even know, and they're not on your driver's test. So they probably don't know them unless you guys are out there informing them.
Well, and the difficult part of that is these e-bikes and e-scooters are so new on the scene that those rules are not necessarily all figured out yet. They're such a new phenomenon, and for our law enforcement partners, kind of puts them in a tight spot because they don't have something official in front of them in every case where they can make a judgment on what type of vehicle is this, who should be on it, where can we ride it. We're in the midst of figuring that out, but it's all very new. Just like when distracted driving became something that started to be an issue of increasing relevance, we didn't have that when we were growing up, right? Because we didn't have a device to have in our hands. So all of a sudden, boom, it's here. What do we do? It took a few years to get Paul Miller's law into effect, which is now under the full enforcement wave as of the beginning of June this year. Makes their primary offense. A law enforcement officer sees that device in your hand, they can automatically pull you over and cite you for that.
Yes, we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I wanted to mention something else about the e-bikes and the scooters and all this motorized stuff. And I wanted to ask the chief a question about enforcement. One thing that I see, and it annoys the devil out of me, I see not even young people. It might be a 50-year-old on one of these electric devices flying through intersections. They don't think they have to stop, and they're not yielding. They're not really paying attention to the other cars. And Chief, are they supposed to stop at the stop signs if they're riding on the road and all that stuff?
Yeah, so like Josh had mentioned, a bunch of different motorized vehicles. These are all considered most of them are considered motorized vehicles. They still have to abide by the Pennsylvania traffic laws. So they still have to come to complete stop. They have to give the right-of-way at intersections whenever there's a car in the intersection before they are. I mean, all the traffic laws still apply.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So parents, if your kids have these devices, whatever they're called, please tell them that, hey, you have to yield to other vehicles on the road. You have to stop at the stop signs. And even though you might not think you would go over it, you have to be aware of the speed limit. If you're driving your bike that goes 25 or 30 through a school zone when school's in session, you're only supposed to go 15. And on some of our streets, the speed limit is 25. So you want to take it easy with that. And I'll tell you, I bought one and I've driven it twice. The first time I drove my electric bike, it scared me. It went so fast, I was uncomfortable driving it. And I bought it used, so I don't have the manual, and I have to figure out how to crank the speed down because it goes too fast for this gray-haired guy.
I think you've hit on an important point there. Is they're a bit misleading because we look at these and they look like a bicycle, and you don't expect them to have that type of power. Bicycles weren't designed to go that fast, first and foremost. Those skinny little tires, if those speeds, are not stable. Definitely not stable if you're hitting a crack or a pothole or something like that.
And gravel. There's all kinds Absolutely. Of gravel right now.
We work with trauma prevention specialists, often partners like Penn Highlands here, and they are seeing just a significant number of injuries, head trauma, people coming in off of these e-bikes. So, you know, it is a real issue. Sometimes people don't believe that, but if you know an ER nurse, talk to them and ask how many times they're seeing people coming in with very serious trauma.
It should be noted as well, well-known helmet makers such as Bell are actually making e-bike helmets now that are more durable than your typical standard bicycle helmet. They're meant to withstand higher speeds. So that's something important to know the difference. If you're a parent, you have a child over the age of 16 that has one of these bikes, there are regular e-bike helmets that's going to give you the proper protection that maybe a standard bicycle helmet wouldn't give you.
That's good to hear because I think anybody that's ever driven a bike growing up, including me, wrecked their bike. And in my day, you didn't have to wear helmets. So things are a lot safer today, but think for a minute of your child on a scooter or e-bike wrecking and bouncing their head off the curb. That child could have some severe head injury, and you don't want that for your kiddo or your grandkiddo. So let's make sure they've got their helmets and they're following the rules. Let's go ahead and talk about the new cell phone law. And you mentioned something about it's named after a gentleman that I guess passed away.
Yeah, Paul Miller's Law. Paul's mother and father fought very hard to get this law instituted. It is named after him. He was a 19-year-old man who was killed by a distracted driver. That distracted driver happened to also be a commercial driver driving an 18-wheeler. So it just goes to show you, even someone who makes their living, you know, professionally licensed to drive, found that temptation a little bit too hard to resist to pick up that device. And it just kind of demonstrates just how dangerous that is. It is a hands-free law. As I said, it makes it a primary offense to have a device in your hand, so law enforcement officers can see that and automatically pull you over and cite you. You know, the citation, it starts at $50, but just like a speeding ticket, if you add in court costs and such, it's going to start to go up pretty significantly, pretty fast.
Yes, I heard it was about $150, roughly, within a couple of bucks. And I don't want to pay that.
Yeah, it should also be noted that that law applies even at a stop sign or a red light. So we are totally hands-free, not just while your vehicle is in motion. I think the law even goes as far as to spell out kind of like you can't balance it on your elbow or on your knee. It's pretty specific. That should be noted. You know, we are totally hands-free, and that means totally, even when you're stopped.
I did see that there was an exception if you have one of those dash-mounted holders for the phone, and even that might have some concerns with it, but I guess you don't need to tie up your hand.
You can speak hands-free. Many vehicles today are Bluetooth-equipped, and you can do that. But, Josh, I know you had noted a study in the past where it showed that that's also not necessarily the safest way to handle things.
Yeah, you can still certainly be distracted even when you're talking on Bluetooth speakers. Studies have shown us that. The biggest thing that we can recommend is before you leave your home, set your phone to do not disturb mode or turn it off, or utilize your passengers. Your passengers certainly can answer phone calls and text messages for you so that you don't have to do it. That's what we recommend. Keep yourself safe. The last thing we want to see is somebody cross over the center line, hit somebody head on, and cause someone or yourself life-altering injuries or possibly even a fatal crash. Unfortunately, we see those types of crashes pretty frequently across the district. I know this school year we've lost a couple of teens within our district in some of our other counties who were distracted driving. So it is very, very important, not only for our teens but all ages. Some of the biggest offenders of this are our 30s, 40s, 50-year-olds, right? Because we haven't gotten the messaging. We haven't been beaten over the head with this not to text and drive or be on our phone while driving. It's an all-age issue. So it's really important that we put the phones down and drive safe, be alert, give our full attention to the roadway.
What's funny is how times have changed. I remember in the mid to late 70s, CB radios were very popular, and everybody was getting a CB. Our state legislature had debates for weeks about the safety of allowing all the drivers to have a CB radio. And all you were doing with it was talking. You weren't doing any video. You weren't looking at your Facebook. You weren't looking at your messages. You weren't wanting to spell a text correctly. And you weren't anywhere near to the level of distraction that those phones are today. But I'm surprised. I don't think the debate lasted as long for the new phones and their need to not be used while driving as it did in the 70s over CB radios. And they certainly weren't anywhere near as distracting. And one point that I thought of that you guys are certainly alluding to is any issue that you have is compounded when you're looking at a phone. For example, I read one time where if you sneeze, you're distracted for a couple of seconds and like 50 feet. So if you're sneezing and you're holding your phone and you want to finish a message, if somebody brakes hard in front of you or stops because a deer is running across the road or whatever, you're not going to see that. And no matter how well we think we can control or handle it, and we all think, I can do that, any distraction at all, you have a cold, you're not feeling well. My mother, who's 92, she very wisely does not touch her phone because it takes all of her energy to stay on the road. So I can see now how you're just adding something else to be distracted. And if it was just the phone, it might not be a big deal. But when you're looking at your Facebook messages and you're doing a TikTok video or whatever, you certainly are very distracted. I read a news article a couple of years ago of a young lady that was driving her car on the highway, and she had just posted a selfie, and within a minute, she did not notice the truck in front of her stop, and her car went under the truck, and she was decapitated. And when the firemen got her out of the car, she was still holding her cell phone underneath the truck.
Right.
Yeah, to give an example to kind of go along with what you're saying, the average text message takes about 4.6 seconds to send or receive. If you were traveling at a speed of 55 miles per hour, so think maybe Route 322, in that time, it would take you to send a text, about 4.5 seconds. You would travel a distance of 100 yards or a football field and not see the road. So it is very, very dangerous. Coincidentally, that is the same distance it takes a fully loaded semi-truck to get stopped. So think about that. You're traveling on the interstate of speeds in excess of 55 miles per hour, and you send a text, takes a truck that long, you get stopped when they're fully loaded, it's going to take you a football field or longer and not to see the road. You know, you're going all that distance and not seeing the road. Extremely, extremely dangerous situation. I don't think anyone would willingly volunteer to put a blindfold on and drive the length of a football field. But that's essentially what our texting drivers are doing at 55 miles per hour. So it is very, very, very dangerous, and I think folks fail to realize that.
That's a good point. You wouldn't close your eyes for 4.5 seconds on Interstate 80.
Exactly.
But you might send a text. But now that's illegal, so we're making it so that you can't or shouldn't do that. And if you get caught, you're probably going to get a citation.
And you know, fortunately, as Josh had hit on here a few minutes ago, those of us of a certain age didn't grow up with these devices, so that's when distracted driving all of a sudden became a problem, because now we have them in our hand. We never had somebody to tell us this is not a good idea. We're training the younger generation now. My hope is, now that they're growing up with these devices, it's part of everyday life, as is the education. I'm very hopeful these trends will go down. And we mentioned we do have Natalie here, our intern. She's part of that younger generation, and we hope, Natalie, you guys in college right now, you're aware that this is an issue and you decide not to participate in distracted, right?
Yes. So all I can recommend is just putting the phone down. Even for people around my age, it's safer to do, especially like near college campuses and school campuses. It's really good to do because you don't want to by accidentally hit a pedestrian or hit another car. Just do it. I know it seems sometimes difficult to break a bad habit, but it's safer for everyone.
Yes, and I think the younger people are more knowledgeable in how to use their device, but that may give them overconfidence to continue doing it. So they'll definitely have to knock it off. One thing we didn't mention that we talked about before the show was headphones. I mentioned that yesterday I saw a gentleman drive through downtown Dubois with headphones, and he was driving one of these newfangled things. I'm not even sure what it was. It did have two wheels, but this guy had two headphones on playing rock music that I could hear. I actually heard it as he's driving by. Is that something that's okay, Chief Roy?
Yes, so that goes back to the question you'd asked earlier. I mean, every one of these vehicles are still have to abide by the law, the motor vehicle law. And the law is at this point is that you can have one on one side. You can't be totally obstructed as far as not being able to hear.
Well, folks, I think you got a tremendous education on safety issues. We talked about aggressive driving. We talked about the cell phone law that just took effect, and you will be getting cited for if you get caught with the phone in your hand. Doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it's Facebook, texting, messaging, or whatever. Don't be watching videos while you're driving. And I want to thank Natalie Reynolds, the intern from the Highway Safety Department, Josh Woods, Steve Harmick with Highway Safety, and Assistant Chief Dustin Roy of the new City of DuBois Police Department. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Pat.
You can get fake news anywhere. You get Fox News here, 99.7 FM, 96.7 FM, and AM.